body in Christ by the Holy Spirit. So let's share this morning in the Word of God. We're going to look in the book of Hebrews, and we have a rather long passage we're going to cover this morning. It's going to go for all of chapter 8, verses 1 to 13, all of chapter 9 to verse 28, and we're going to go into chapter 10, probably till about verse 22. I'm not going to read the whole passage right now, but I would encourage you to get your Bible or your tablet or however you access the scriptures and spend some time looking at that scripture. We're going to read a bit now, and then we're going to hit some of the high points as we go, as we cover this particular section of the book of Hebrews. So starting in Hebrews chapter 8, read at verse 1. Now the main point of what we're saying is this. We do have such a high priest who sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, and who serves in the sanctuary, the true tabernacle set up by the Lord, not by a mere human being. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices, and so it was necessary for this one also to have something to offer. If he were on earth, he would not be a priest, for there are already priests who offer the gifts prescribed by the law. They serve at a sanctuary that is a copy and shadow of what is in heaven. This is why Moses was warned when he was about to build the tabernacle, "See to it that you make everything according to the pattern shown you on the mountain." But in fact, the ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs as the covenant of which he's mediator is superior to the old one, since the new covenant is established on better promises. For if there had been nothing wrong with that first covenant, no place would have been found for another. Sorry, no place would have been sought for another. But God found fault with the people and said, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they did not remain faithful to my covenant, and I turned away from them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will establish with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. By calling this covenant new, he has made the first obsolete, and what is obsolete and outdated will soon disappear." Heavenly Father, bring us into your presence this morning. Cause us to sit at your feet. Cause our hearts to be open so your Holy Spirit may teach us from your word and give us revelation of your Son, Jesus Christ. We come with open hearts and ask you to change us. In Jesus' name, amen. There are two ways people have to pursue a relationship with God. There's the old way and the new way. The old way is natural. The new way is spiritual. The old way is external. The new way is internal. The old way is symbolic. The new way is real. The old way has an appearance of godliness. The new way has the power of God. The old way is dead. It isn't able to bring us close to God. The new way is living, and it gives life. The new way is a completely different relationship with God through Jesus. The way into the heavenly sanctuary is now opened. Access to God's power and presence is ours. let us enter in through the curtain into God's presence by this new and living way. We're continuing our study in the book of Hebrews. Last week we learned that our hope is secure because Jesus has gone into heaven and entered through the curtain into the Holy of Holies on our behalf. We learned that Jesus is exactly the high priest we need to represent us, to bring us into God's presence, and continually intercede for us. With our hope firmly in Jesus, our focus is on eternal things, and our soul is safely anchored with Christ in heaven. Now, I'm going to show you, this is going to be an object lesson, I'm going to show you an object, and I want to see how many people can recognize what this is. So this is the object, and I wonder, can you recognize this and tell me what it is? And if, by the way, if you're at home watching on the live stream, you can put in the comments, put your comments of what this is. I heard someone say a space shuttle. Sound good? All right. So thank you for saying that, but I need to tell you, if that was your answer, you are wrong. And we need to understand that this is not a space shuttle. It is a model of a space shuttle. And if we can understand why this is not a space shuttle, then we will be able to understand the teaching from the book of Hebrews today. This, I'm just going to hold this up again so you can get this. This is a copy of the real thing. It's a very nice copy. It has the color, the black and white color scheme of the space shuttle. It has wings like the real space shuttle. And it has these things on the back that look like rocket boosters. This would be very educational to show someone what the real space shuttle looks like. But it's a copy. And the reason we know it's a copy is it doesn't work. It would be a problem if you were to mistake the copy for the real thing. The rockets can't ignite. The wings cannot make it fly. It's way too small for you to get in it. And it can never take you on a journey to the outer stratosphere. The copy of the space shuttle doesn't really do anything at all. Now, the writer of Hebrews is very concerned that his readers understand the difference between a model and the real thing. The real thing is always so much better. It has real power. It is effective. It can really take you somewhere. Now, in Hebrews, we're not talking about a spaceship. We're talking about our relationship with God. And after the previous passage that explains how Jesus is a different kind of high priest, we start reading in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 4 and 5 that the earthly priests who minister according to the law serve a sanctuary that is a copy, a shadow of the real one in heaven. But Jesus serves in the sanctuary, in the true tabernacle that was set up by the Lord and not by a human being. The book of Hebrews was written to Christians with a background in Jewish religion and culture. Everything they knew about God told them that the tabernacle and later the temple were the most important structures on earth, and that the sanctuary was the holiest place on earth. And here the writer of Hebrews is telling them that these are not real. They're only copies made with human hands. In chapter 9 he says, Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with human hands that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself. We need to be careful not to mistake the copy for the real thing. We need to be careful not to make the mistake of thinking that only physical things are real, the things we can see and touch. Invisible things can also be real. We make a mistake if we think that what we see is real, but all the stuff we hear about from heaven is symbolic. That's not the case. And particularly here, the writer of Hebrews is saying, no, What's on the earth is symbolic. What's real is in heaven. The things that are in heaven, the spiritual things, are just as real as the things on earth. In Hebrews chapter 8, 6, it says, in fact, the ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs as the covenant of which he's mediator is superior to the old one, since the new covenant is established on better promises. The heavenly sanctuary is as different from the earthly copy as the real spaceship is from the plastic model. One works and one doesn't work. The real sanctuary in heaven is better than the copy. Now Jesus, since he's a better priest, serving in a better tabernacle, must also mediate a new and better covenant and laws enacted on better promises. What's a covenant? A covenant is an agreement that defines a relationship. A marriage can be a covenant. You can have a covenant agreement that relates to employment, or to belong to a, or to be a member of our church. It's an agreement that defines a relationship. It defines the rights and responsibilities of the people in the covenant, and it sets out rules for the relationship and describes any benefits or penalties. When God chose Israel to be his people, the relationship was defined by what we call the Old Covenant, also called the Law, also sometimes called the Law of Moses. The better promises are in Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 to 34, where God promises to replace the first agreement or covenant with a new and better covenant. First, God is going to fix the problem with the old covenant, which is the people were not faithful to the terms and conditions of the agreement, and they didn't follow it. Next, God says, instead of being written on slabs of stone, the covenant's rules will be written on people's hearts. He says God will be their God, and they will be his people. They won't need priests or anyone else to explain God to them, because they will know God for themselves. And it says that God will forgive the people and will never remember their sins again. The writer of Hebrews says we have this new covenant because Jesus is our high priest, who ministers in the Holy of Holies. This is a new covenant that will completely change the relationship we have with God. The problem with the first covenant was that it was about external obedience. It could tell people what to do, but it did not give them the power to obey God, and it didn't give them the will or desire to follow his ways or to serve him. External laws cannot transform the inside. So the government could pass a law that declares you are a fish. But that doesn't mean you can breathe underwater. You don't have to laugh. The government's already passing laws that says a man can be a woman. A next step could be a fish. But if someone passed a law that you were a fish and you would still not have gills, you would need to be transformed from the inside if it was going to work at all. Well, the new covenant is about the internal. It's about the heart. Because it's written on our hearts, it transforms us to give us the will and the desire to follow God's ways. The old covenant was about failure, guilt, and sacrifice. The people would fail to follow God. The people would feel guilty. The people would offer sacrifices to try to make things right. Then they repeated this cycle all over again. Failure, guilt, sacrifice. The new covenant is different. It's based on one sacrifice that removes sin and clears our conscience from guilt and dead works. The new law is in our heart to keep our conscience clear. Because it says in Hebrews chapter 9, 14, how much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciousness from acts, our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. And in Romans chapter 8, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. The Old and the New Covenants each have their own set of rules. Under Old Covenant rules, when we fail, our conscience becomes aware of our sin and condemns us. And that stops us from drawing near to God because we don't feel worthy. So we try to do something about it, some sort of sacrifice, something that will try to make things right, some sort of penance. And in the book of Hebrews calls these things dead works. Under the new rules, Jesus writes God's laws on our hearts. He keeps our conscience clean. He presents us faultless to God's presence. And God forgives our sins and remembers them no more forever. Jesus Christ has brought us into a new covenant. But there are many Christians who are still living by the old rules. I was reading an article in the paper where doctors who are dealing with the COVID pandemic are now concerned that when the lockdowns end and we no longer have to social distance and no longer need to wear masks, that there are a number of people who won't be able to give up those practices, that they'll be stuck. And they're foreseeing an epidemic of psychological problems where people just won't be able to make the change to back to normal life. Well, sometimes this is kind of like what happens to believers who have been brought into a new covenant but are still living by old rules. If you are living in a cycle of failure, guilt, and sacrifice to ease your conscience, then you are living by the old rules of the first covenant. And it's an incorrect way of looking at your relationship with God. It's an incorrect view that imagines, first of all, that we're still powerless against sin. It's an incorrect view because it imagines that God remembers our sins. It's wrong because it pictures Jesus as still being crucified for our sins as a sacrifice. And it's wrong because it views God's ways as external to us instead of being written on our hearts. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, He starts to write God's law on our hearts. He transforms us in how we relate to God's law. In the new way, we're no longer under the law. But that doesn't mean the law is less important. We have a law inside us now, which is the greatest of all the commandments in the whole Bible, which is to love other people with the same love that Jesus loves us. And because it's inside us, written on our hearts, the ways of God are no longer external to us. They become very personal to us. If we sin, we not only sin against God, we're sinning against our own hearts. In the new way, serving God is your reason for living. And in the new way, you follow the law of God because it delights you. By calling this covenant new, He has made the first one obsolete. And what is obsolete and outdated will soon disappear. Now, the first covenant also had rules and regulations for how to worship God. The book of Exodus contains detailed instructions for the tent where the priests would serve God, the size and shape, the materials used, the various furnishings. There was a lampstand and a table with consecrated bread on it, and there was a curtain that separated the holy place from the holiest of holiest places where the Ark of the Covenant rested, and everything had to be done exactly as instructed by the Holy Spirit. And so we read in Hebrews chapter 9, when everything had been arranged like this, the priests entered regularly into the outer room to carry on their ministry. But only the high priest entered the inner room, and that only once a year, and never without blood, which he offered for himself and for the sins the people had committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit was showing by this that the way into the most holy place had not yet been disclosed as long as the first tabernacle was still functioning. This is an illustration for the present time, indicating that the gifts and sacrifices being offered were not able to clear the conscience of the worshiper. They are only a matter of food and drink and various ceremonial washings, external regulations applying until the time of the new order. The writer of Hebrews has already told us that this entire design was only an earthly copy of a heavenly reality. And he says this is an illustration for the present time. The tabernacle was an illustration or a picture or a model about accessing God's presence. But because it was a copy, it never succeeded in bringing anyone near to God. He goes so far as to say that as long as the earthly physical tent is in operation, the way to God's presence is closed. Remember, the Hebrews who read this letter first were struggling under persecution for their faith in Jesus. And they were being tempted to go back to the old familiar worship of the old covenant and the temple. Maybe they thought that even if they didn't have Jesus anymore, they would still be able to serve God in the old way. But the writer of Hebrews becomes very explicit and says, no, there is no access to God through the old way. And there never was. We need to choose where to put our faith. We can't try to put our confidence in Jesus and something else at the same time. Every few years, I hear about someone who thinks it'd be great to rebuild the temple according to the biblical model. I don't understand why anyone would want to do that. Because the Bible says, right here in God's Word, that it's a copy, that it doesn't work. And if there is a physical temple in operation, the way to God's presence is closed. When the Holy Spirit designed the tabernacle, the curtain, and the Holy of Holies, it was to show that because we are sinful and God is holy, we cannot enter his presence. The curtain barrier to the Holy of Holies illustrated that we needed a Savior who could open a way for us. But now that the Savior is here, ministering as a high priest within the veil, the way is open and the model is obsolete. We don't need a copy of the Holy of Holies because we have the real thing. We have real access into the real heavenly sanctuary. Our access is complete, total, and free in Christ. God's plan for you every day is for you to enjoy this access into his presence. In the old way, people came to the tabernacle to pray and receive mercy. We come into God's presence to pray for what we need. But now we also come to God's presence to worship him and to serve him. The impact of being in God's presence is the desire to serve him. If anyone says they've been with God but are not transformed in a desire to serve him with their whole life, then we need to wonder if they were really in God's presence at all. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 24 says, "For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with human hands that was only a copy of the true one. He entered into heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence." After Jesus died for our sins, and after he rose from the dead, there was still something that he wanted to do for us. It says here in verse 24, "He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence." And now is a very important word. Our strength to live the Christian life is based on what Jesus is doing now as he ministers in the Holy of Holies. Jesus now appears for us in God's presence. What a representative for us to have. When I was working in the court system and I would have a client who had been arrested, the first thing I had to do when I got to court was find out who the duty counsel was. Who's the lawyer that can represent this individual? And I quickly learned there were certain duty counsels that you did not want to have represent your client, and there were certain ones you really hoped would represent your client. Jesus is the absolute best representative we can have before God, because now he is appearing in God's presence for us. Jesus now appears for us in God's presence. Now Jesus is naming your name before the Father. Now he is hearing prayers and petitions made in his name. Now he is supplying all your need for life and provision and for healing. Now he's guaranteeing your inheritance. Now Jesus is making your worship acceptable and carrying it personally into God's presence. Now he is sending strength and power through the Holy Spirit directly from God's presence to you. Everything we need is in Jesus. Sometimes we're praying for more of God, but we keep waiting as if there's something that has to happen, or something we need to do, or some obstacle we need to get through before revival comes. Understanding who Jesus is now and what he's doing now means understanding we already have all the access we need for revival to start now. Because Jesus has a better ministry, we have access to a better sacrifice that deals with sins once for all, forever. The old way depended on the blood of animal sacrifices. Animals were sacrificed to cover the sins of the people. Everything that was considered holy, all the implements used in the tabernacle, even the priests themselves, were sprinkled with blood. In Hebrews 9:22, it says, "In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness." The main job of the priests who served the earthly tabernacle was to offer sacrifices. For hundreds of years, the priests made the sacrifices required by the law for the sins of the people as well as their own sins. But those sacrifices were only a model to illustrate the coming reality of the new covenant. And they did not actually have the power to solve the problem of sin. Instead of cleansing the conscience from the guilt of sin, what they really did was remind the people of their sins year after year. In Hebrews chapter 10, we read, "The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. Otherwise, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshipers would have been cleansed once for all and would no longer have to feel guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins. It's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins." I want you to notice this word impossible. He isn't saying that the old way was great, but Jesus came with a way that's better. It says it's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. It never happened. The sacrifice of Jesus is not just an alternate way. It's not just a better way or even the best way. It's the only way. Whatever kind of sacrifices or penance or rituals or whatever you think you need to do to get close to God is like the blood of bulls and goats. It is impossible that those things would deal with your sins. That's why in the book of Hebrews they are called dead works. But there is a way. There is an only way that takes away sins. There's a difference between forgiving a sin and taking a sin away. Let's say I sinned against you. You could forgive me, please. But you could not take the sin away. You couldn't make it disappear like it never happened. You couldn't go back in time and remove the damage it did, even if you wanted to. So we needed a new and better sacrifice that not only forgave sins or covered sins, but that removed sin completely and destroyed sin's power to do damage to our souls. Christ came as a high priest with a better sacrifice. It says in Hebrews 9, "But he has appeared once for all, at the culmination of the ages, to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself." The blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin, so Jesus sacrificed himself. He made one sacrifice to deal with all sin, even mine and even yours, for every person, everywhere, for all time, past, present, and future. The other high priests had to sacrifice over and over again, but Jesus made one sacrifice one time. Jesus is our high priest, but he's not in heaven sacrificing himself over and over again whenever we sin. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Jesus is the high priest of the one perfect sacrifice that makes our conscience clean and makes us holy for all time. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11, it says, day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for old time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. The old covenant was a copy. And it says in Hebrews that its sacrifices can never take away sins. We must not be tempted to go back to some old way of dealing with our sins. It won't work. We can't try to find some other kind of sacrifice to cleanse our conscience from guilt. They don't work. Jesus is the only sacrifice, and he's the only way. He's the new way that replaces the old sacrifices and makes them obsolete. He offers us his one perfect sacrifice for us to put our faith in it and depend on that sacrifice to make us his holy people. And because of that one sacrifice, to come into a completely new relationship with God. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this, we read in Hebrews chapter 10, 15. First he says, this is the covenant I'll make with them after that time, says the Lord. I'll put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds. Then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. The new way is better than the old way. The real thing is better than the copy. In 2 Corinthians we read, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. Jesus came to bring us into a completely new and different relationship with God. Jesus passed through the heavens and became a priest in the heavenly sanctuary to bring us into all the blessings of the new covenant, the new law in our hearts without guilt, the new sanctuary with no curtain to separate us from the glory, and the new relationship without the need for sacrifice. I'm going to wrap up with Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain. I'm just going to stop there for a second. This is the key verse in the entire book of Hebrews. We have confidence to enter the most holy place. We've been reading how Jesus entered the most holy place, but now the writer of Hebrews says, it's our turn. It gets better and better. It's not enough that Jesus will go there and stand in God's presence for us, naming my name before the Father while I wait outside, like Joshua outside the tent. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Right? No. You have confidence. Go in with him. There's no barrier, no separation. It's better and better. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance that faith brings. It's our turn to enter. We have a new and living way to know God. It's not physical, it's spiritual. It isn't earthly, it's heavenly. We're living a life in the spirit that isn't based on confidence in physical and external things. We're not living by intermediaries or by symbols or by rituals or penance or sacrifices. The new covenant is in the heart. The new priest is in heaven. We are living in the real and the now of heaven. We're living a life of faith with nothing to come between us and direct personal access to our Father God. Amen and amen. I should pray and close the service. But I'd just like us all right now to take a moment, wherever you are, to enter God's presence. We have confidence to come into the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. I'm just going to ask, come, just enter in faith into God's presence. Realize there is no obstacle, there's no barrier anymore to give you direct and personal access to your Heavenly Father. Lord, we come into your presence. We come into your holy place, Lord. Thank you for opening the door, Lord. Draw us close to you. Draw us near to you, where we belong. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In your presence is fullness of joy, O Lord God. In your presence, we see the revelation of Jesus. In your presence, we find everything that we need. Heavenly Father, I come into your presence in the name of Jesus, through his blood, through the new and living way. Lord, and I ask for your church that you would revive us in your Holy Spirit. I ask that you would pour out yourself upon every person who's hearing these words. I ask that they would be able to receive new life and a new way. Father, for that person who's living in an old cycle of failure and guilt and the need to try and cleanse their conscience, I pray for you would send deliverance, O Lord God. Let your truth break every chain and free them, Lord God, to come into a new relationship with you. Father, for that person who's living under some sort of obligation with the belief that they must perform something to get to you, I pray that you would free that person and break every chain and bring that person into your new covenant, into a new relationship to see God in a different way. Lord, I pray for all of us that you would keep us close to your presence every day, that we would know that this is the real thing that we have in you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.